Broadcasting from the Taz and Lake Lodge Studios.
Sporting Journal Radio.
Sporting Journal Radio. The Midwest's radio home for the outdoors.
Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
All right, welcome to the show. My name is Brett Amundson. Thank you for tuning in on this station right here or by listening to the podcast, wherever you get your favorite podcasts. You can stream it on demand at sportingjournalradio.com. While you're there, you can check out our two new podcasts, which are kind of extended versions of the content that you hear on this radio show here. So like today, we're going to have Jason Durham on the show, fishing guide around Park Rapids. We talked to him for about 40 minutes or so. Obviously, we're not going to get all that on this show right here, but if you want to listen to what he's got to say, we'll cover some of that here. And then if you want to hear the extended version, you can listen to the Finding Fins fishing podcast. We also have a hunting-only podcast called Finding Fur and Feathers. Subscribe to those wherever you get podcasts or at sportingjournalradio.com. We also have Joe Henry coming up later in the show. We're going to break down using crawler harnesses. He was fishing Lake of the Woods recently, filming an episode of Lake Commandos with Steve Panaz. We'll find out how they did and what they did. And the fact that it was 90 degrees, dead calm, and they were catching walleyes during the day in 7 to 10 feet of water. We'll find out how they were doing that coming up later in the show. We'll check in with Doug Lear from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. He's got the North Dakota Spring Pheasant Index. Some good news for pheasant hunters. Now, if you haven't visited our store yet, we've got some new stuff. So we've got Sporting Journal Radio hats and coffee mugs. And then we've got our new product that we added this week, too. They're all over print shirts. So we created a pheasant one. So it's like the t-shirt is completely covered in pheasant pictures, basically. So it's not just like a picture on the front or the back. All right. And don't forget, while you're online, you can subscribe to this show on YouTube as well. And follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Look for Sporting Journal Radio. All right. This week's show is brought to you by Lake of the Woods Tourism. Plan a trip to Lake of the Woods at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. By Haybale Heights Campground Resort on Devil's Lake. Plan a trip to Devil's Lake at haybaleheights.com. By Taz and Lake Lodge. We are closed for the season. That is the message we finally put out for Taz and Lake Lodge. Unfortunately, with the border closure extension, this whole COVID business, closed for the season now. So plan a trip for 2021 at tazandlake.com. By Prairie Sportsman. We did some filming the other day for Prairie Sportsman on Grindstone Lake. I don't know if you fish Grindstone. It's kind of a cool area, about an hour and a half north of the Twin Cities, kind of in that Hinckley area in east central Minnesota. A very deep lake, 150 feet. It's got some lake trout in there, and they stock it with rainbows and browns. And it was 90-some degrees and dead flat calm. And we actually jumped in the lake to try to cool off and didn't. Like, jumping in the lake did not even cool us off. The water temperatures were 86 degrees. It was ridiculous. You got to be cautious of these water temps around the state, too. I know a lot of musky anglers and musky guides out there are canceling trips and pulling their boats off because it's dangerous for the fish to be messing around with them when surface water temps are, you know, in that mid-80 degree range. That's crazy. And then, of course, if you're fishing for walleyes or, say, crappies or some of those fish in deeper water, 30 feet plus, they can suffer barotrauma, of course. And with Mille Lacs being closed, I mean, this is one of the reasons why they closed Mille Lacs for the month of July. You can be upset about it all you want. I'm not happy about it either. That whole situation, we could discuss that for hours. But this is why they close it in July. It gets so much pressure. And, yeah, there are pile of walleyes, but bringing those fish up from 35 feet, you know, or deeper water or whatever, but bringing them up into that, you know, 80 plus degree surface temperature, it's not good for them. So I don't know. Like I said, we could discuss Mille Lacs until we're blue in the face, but month of July, of course, closed on Mille Lacs right now. And just got to be careful with those water temps out there. If you are an artist, this is kind of cool. Of course, the state always has all these different stamps, which I bought all the stamps this year. I encourage you, you know, I know you don't like paying more money for hunting or fishing licenses, and you feel like you get nickel and dimed by the state. I get that. But when it comes to the DNR and the game managers, this is how they pay their salaries, all right? By our license fees and our permits and our stamp purchases. This is how they manage all these wonderful hunting and fishing opportunities that we have in the state. Yeah, we could argue about Mille Lacs and we could argue about whitetail management and this and that. Bottom line is they need money to do the management. Do I agree with everything they do? Of course not. But what I don't agree with, you might agree with. So sometimes you have to manage for the majority and you're going to make some people in the minority upset. But bottom line is, give them some money so they have more resources to do better management for us here in the state. So I buy all the stamps. You can buy the wall. The walleye stamp is voluntary. Buy it anyway. It's like, what is it, like $5, something like that. Trout stamp I get, of course, because I fish for trout. Pheasant stamp, I hunt pheasants. Waterfall stamp, you got to get. It's great. I buy the walk-in access permit. I'll buy the early goose, the fall goose. I'll buy the sandhill crane. You get it all. It's only a couple of bucks, and it goes to a good cause. It's like donating to a conservation agency. All right, now we're going to hear from Doug Lear from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. It's your outdoors report. It's brought to you by Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake. Go to haybaleheights.com.
The numbers are back from North Dakota's Spring Pheasant Population Index, and there is good news to report. Hi, this is Doug Lear with your weekly North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. North Dakota's Spring Pheasant Population Index is up 15% from the same time last year. That's according to the Game and Fish Department's 2020 Spring Crowing Count Survey. RJ Gross is our upland game management biologist, and the number of roosters heard crowing this spring was up statewide. We had increases ranging from 1% to 18% in the primary regions which hold pheasants. Our spring breeding population was definitely larger compared to last year. And actually, hens should be in pretty good physical shape for nesting season. Cover should be plentiful from the residual moisture that was left from last fall. Now, there is some concern with the drought conditions, especially in the western part of the state. Will there be enough insects available for chicks for brood rearing? So that's the next question that needs to be answered, and we'll find out in due time. We also want to hope for better than above average chick survival with the lush cover and the warm temperatures. But the flip side of that is severe weather can impact pheasant populations in specific areas. Now, please understand, the spring number is an indicator. Now, this does not predict what the fall population will look like. Our brood surveys, those begin in late July. We wrap them up by September. That provides a much better estimate of our summer pheasant production and then what hunters can expect for a fall population. Our crowing counts are done every spring across North Dakota. There are specified 20-mile routes. Biologists stop, count the number of pheasants crowing over a 2-minute period. That is this week's North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. I'm biologist Doug Lear.
Devil's Lake is legendary, and this summer has been legendary for walleyes. Don't miss out. Call Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort today to book one of their modern cabins on East Bay. The cabins are furnished with a full bathroom, kitchen, and all the amenities like high-speed internet, and are clean following CDC guidelines. Staying at Hay Bale Heights gives you full access to a private boat launch, fish cleaning station, and beach area. Learn more at haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. Plan your trip to legendary Devil's Lake today. Hunt, fish, conserve, repeat. That's the mission here at Sporting Journal Radio. And if you love the outdoors as much as we do, show it off with new wildlife-themed gear from the Sporting Journal Radio store. From hoodies to hats, coffee mugs, wildlife prints, and you can even make your phone stand out with a new case sporting some high-quality wildlife photography. Go to sportingjournalradio.com and click on store. We have a huge selection of gear with new items being added every week. Powered by Shopify, which is trusted by over 1 million businesses and offering a variety of ways to pay, including PayPal. Shop now at sportingjournalradio.com. As we all navigate through the tough times of 2020, finding new ways to enjoy summer has become a way of life. If you're searching for the perfect getaway this summer, look no further than the walleye capital of the world, Lake of the Woods. Fish the Rainy River, Big Traverse Bay, and don't forget you can still experience the uniqueness of the Northwest Angle. For your best chance to catch big fish, go where the big fish are. Lake of the Woods. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. If trophy lake trout and monster northern pike are on your list this summer, book a trip to Tazzin Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan.
Everything from numbers to big fish.
See pictures, videos, and more at TazzinLake.com.
This is quite the fishery.
Our five-star chef will feed you well after a day of chasing giants on Tazzin Lake.
Dream come true.
Get rates, dates, and more of what you can expect.
It could be the best fish you ever had in your life.
At TazzinLake.com. That's TazzinLake.com. Tazzin Lake Lodge is a proud partner of Tourism Saskatchewan.
Broadcasting from the Tazzin Lake Lodge Studios,
This is Sporting Journal Radio.
Now we're going to talk to Jason Durham from the Go Fish Guide Service around the Park Rapids area. Jason, how's it going?
It's going great. I tell you what, Brett, I just got off the water. Like, I literally ran into the house. You and I had been in communication, but one of the very few days up here this year that I've had to deal with weather and the challenge of weather. And as a fishing guide, you know, that throws off your entire schedule. So we had planned to talk a little bit earlier, and it was a beautiful afternoon, as perfect conditions as you could ever ask for. But I mean, I was running hot at the end, and I've got people swinging crappies into me. I'm cleaning fish in the boat, and they're still fishing. And I just kept, I always want people to catch fish, but just a little bit. I wanted them to slow down so the capture part of it would stop and I could finitely be done and get to chatting with you.
Well, as a fishing guy, don't ever tell people you want your guests to slow down on the catching.
No. I'd never do that. But the one thing is to being a fishing guide is that there's limits within our state of Minnesota.
Sure.
And they're very liberal. Okay. And there's a big difference between what is legal and what is ethical. And for what they needed, we were at that point.
There you go.
So it was okay. It was okay to come to that number of fish that we had and say, we're good.
Well, I appreciate the dedication of wrapping the day up quickly so you could come be on the show today. I appreciate that. It's dedication.
I wouldn't say we wrapped it up quickly by any means. I was just a little bit late to the to the office here, so
no worries. I'm glad it was a good day on the water, man. It's been you're up around that Park Rapids area, I'm down by Lac Parle. It's been so hot down here, and we've had some storms recently too, and you know, I've been blown off the water a couple of times lately. There's been days where I looked outside and I'm not guiding, of course, I just want to fish. I'm like, you know what, I don't want to be out there today. You know, and we actually did film a segment for Prairie Sportsman last week, and it was on Thursday of last week, prior to the 4th of July weekend. It was so hot. The water temperature, Jason, was 86 degrees out there that day. And I didn't wear sunscreen. And I'm a big proponent of wearing sunscreen, but we were fishing for trout. And Jason, you know this, especially when you're fishing for something as finicky as a trout species can be, you try to stack all the odds in your favor as much as possible. So I try to eliminate bug spray from the boat. I try not to use bug spray, and I try not to use sunscreen so much. So I was like, well, I'll just get out there and we'll catch a couple fish quick, and then I'll slather on the sunscreen, you know, after we get some good fish on camera. Well, let's just say we fished for 7 hours, and by the first fish we brought in the boat was after 6.5 hours of being out there in mid 90 degree temperatures. And so I'm peeling a little bit still from that trip out there.
Well, what I envision when you're describing all of this to me is that scene from River Runs Through It, where he takes the guy fishing and he's hungover, and you know, the guy doesn't have sunscreen. He just gets burned, his legs and his arms and everything. We all know, living in Minnesota, that in the summer, there is that point. It usually comes once a year where you get burned so badly that it is painful to sleep. And it's a good reminder to apply the sunblock and everything. And, you know, I've been doing this so long, and you have too, that you know better.
I know.
But sometimes you make that mistake. I've made the mistake plenty of times. I've been really diligent this year about sun protection. And talking about that heat, boy, that is just brutal to fish in. When you get out there at 7 o'clock in the morning, it's already high, high humidity and no wind. And that's a big difference. A couple weeks ago, we had a string of 90 degree days, and really our water temperature didn't change at all because we had 30 mile an hour winds. So all that water is mixing together, that cooler water from, you know, out in the deep. But this week, yeah, we had an increase of about 9 degrees in, I don't know, the last probably 8 days or so. So when you're talking about chasing and predicting what a cold-blooded animal is going to do, and you've changed its environment all around it and its temperature, yeah, you're going to have a few days where the fishing is definitely a little off. The analogy that I always use for others is, you know, when your core temperature changes just a few degrees, we don't feel like eating. We don't feel like going out and exercising. You're pretty sluggish. Same thing happens to fish. And sometimes it's just a matter of finding a different body of water to target, or just waiting a couple days until things cool down a bit.
But I feel like eating all the time, and I don't like working out all the time. So I don't know if I just have my thermostat set too high or what. But, you know, and I want, Jason, I want to talk more about fishing in conditions like this when it's as hot as it is. But I just want to back up one second, because I don't know if it's because I'm getting older or what, but I'm becoming more and more concerned about just taking care of myself despite wanting to eat all the time and not working out. But when it comes to, say, hunting, I'm a big proponent of wearing hearing protection all the time and finding ways to still be able to hear what you're doing and protect your hearing, because you don't get that hearing back. And my dad has had bouts of melanoma. So when it comes to being out there and exposure in the sun, if I don't wear sunscreen, or my dad wants me to wear a big hat with a big wide brim all the way around on it, if I don't, he lets me know, and he doesn't stop, and for good reason. So I wear the long sleeves, the lighter shirts with the long sleeves as much as possible, and I will use sunscreen the majority of the time. And it's funny, I remember when I started to get into the fishing industry, the business side of things a little bit more, and you'd go to different events, you could always pick out who the fishing guides were, because they all had the sunglass lines, the sunglass tan
yeah,
line.
Yeah, for sure. It looks like they're wearing sunglasses even when they're not. Right. You know, one thing for me, I don't wear sunglasses in the boat a lot. Hmm. I do at times, for sure, just for eye protection, and that's a big thing, avoiding hooks and things like that. But that safety part of it too, you know, I'll give you an example. We don't use a lot of crankbaits. We simply don't. And part of it is, it does go back to that safety aspect of things, where when you're handling fish that are aggressive and you've got a lot of hooks flying around, eye protection is a must, protecting your hands. I mean, I'm so blessed. I've been guiding for 28 years. I've never had a hook buried in me, knock on wood, and I hope that never happens. And it will one day. But then talking about the sun too, and just being diligent about sunblock. And like, I've got the shirt I wore guiding today that not only does it protect you from the sun's long sleeve and everything, and I have some with hoods, but then it helps cool you too. The technology and the materials that they use now can help wick away the moisture. But you have to be aware of that too, because you're always losing, hydration. So you have to drink a lot of fluids when you're out there. And there's times where I'm even reminding clients in the boat, you know, you should probably have some water or Gatorade or whatever it is. And I've always got extra on board too, because and you don't want somebody to have those effects.
Right. And there is water and beer, right? I'm pretty sure. No, it is very important to be drinking water out there or something with some electrolytes, because it's so easy to get dehydrated. But and then I, on my list of questions that I was going to ask you here, I did have a safety question about gear that you wear in the boat. Do you always guide barefoot?
I do guide barefoot sometimes. Sometimes I do, but I wear sandals a lot. Usually it's a covered toe, but not always. It totally depends. It's nice to have. I just got a new pair of shoes. I found them on Amazon. I have no clue what brand they are. It's not a name brand, but it's a water shoe. And remember years ago, like when we were kids, they would have water shoes that you could wear in salt water, and it almost looked more like a sock. Mm-hmm. Well, now those shoes look more like a tennis shoe, but they're mesh. It helps a lot with biting black flies, for instance, but you can walk in the water, and they've got good drains on them and everything. I did have one time really interesting thing happen to me. I was guiding for Northerns and Muskies, and we had caught a lot of Northern pike that day. And I felt like there was a rock in the heel of my sandal. And from walking in the water so much, that wouldn't be out of the ordinary. So I reached my hand down to kind of get it out. And I pull my hand up, and here I've got a single tooth from a Northern pike and a whole bunch of blood. Ooh. So a tooth had actually broken off from the fish, gotten into my sandal, and cut me. In fact, if you look at my social media accounts, the picture's on there.
What an anomaly. We'll show it here in the video too.
Sure.
And that doesn't feel good. I've been cut by plenty of pike. Did it continue to bleed then, or were you able to get it to stop?
Well, that's the thing with those Northern pike and musky teeth. If you get cut by them, they're so sharp that you bleed quite a bit.
Right.
So you really have to be careful about cleaning out that wound too. Any wound that you get out on the water because you get that fish slime in there, and it can get infected very, very quickly. And a lot of people, you know, kind of poo-poo that, and they go, well, you know, my hand might be sore, what might not have the flexibility and range of motion for a couple of days, but it could actually turn into something much worse. So you always want to have a first aid kit with. I've always got one in my boat, and trust me, we use it quite a bit.
With these warm temperatures too, Jason, I've been seeing a lot of the people that guide for muskies out there say, hey, it's too hot for muskie fishing right now.
Yeah. I mean, you can really look at that for most species of fish. You look at walleyes, you know, where they're moving out into deeper water and pulling them out from, you know, 30 plus feet of water. Well, then you've got a whole nother issue with the barotrauma, not just the water temperature. And really, you know, any of the fish that you catch this time of year, the water temperature does have an effect. You know, a couple things to keep in mind is, you know, number one, what you're measuring in your boat is surface temperature. And then giving them a rest, playing the fish quickly, getting them back in the water, not keeping them out of the water for an elongated period of time. A lot of times, like with muskies, the best place for them to be is really in the net and just resting there for a minute before you let them swim off. But again, not handling them. You don't want them, you know, you don't want to take a picture and have somebody drop it in the boat. That would be the absolute worst thing ever. So, yeah, we're not going hard on deep walleyes right now. We're not going hard on, you know, muskies in this hot weather. But
it'd be, you know, everyone's going to complain about Mille Lacs being closed anyway. But this closure is probably really good for it this year, based on how hot it is right now.
It really is, because you're going to see a lot of mortality because of those factors.
Yeah, well, we could dedicate a whole different show to that topic, and we'll save that for another day. But let's go back to muskies a little bit, because we shared a video on the Sporting Journal Radio Facebook page of a pretty interesting muskie encounter that you had recently.
Absolutely unbelievable. So a lot of times when we go out and fish muskies, when clients want to fish muskies, sometimes they want to do the traditional, you know, giant lures and heavy, heavy equipment, and we don't always do that.
Hold it right there, Jason. We got to take a quick break. We want to find out what you did with this client and this muskie pike interaction experience that you had. It's a pretty neat story. More with Jason Durham coming up next year on Sporting Journal Radio. Plus, we'll check in with Joe Henry. Get a breakdown of using crawler harnesses in shallow water on hot, calm summer days. You're not going to believe what he's saying about it. We'll ask him about it coming up later in the show. If trophy lake trout and monster northern pike are on your list this summer, book a trip to Tazzin Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan.
Everything from numbers to big fish.
See pictures, videos, and more at TazzinLake.com.
This is quite the fishery.
Our five-star chef will feed you well after a day of chasing giants on Tazzin Lake.
Dream come true.
Get rates, dates, and more of what you can expect.
It could be the best fish you ever had in your life.
At TazzinLake.com. That's TazzinLake.com.
Tazzin Lake Lodge is a proud partner of Tourism Saskatchewan. As we all navigate through the tough times of 2020, finding new ways to enjoy summer has become a way of life. If you're searching for the perfect getaway this summer, look no further than the walleye capital of the world, Lake of the Woods. Fish the Rainy River, Big Traverse Bay, and don't forget, you can still experience the uniqueness of the Northwest Angle. For your best chance to catch big fish, go where the big fish are. Lake of the Woods. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Devil's Lake is legendary, and this summer has been legendary for walleyes. Don't miss out. Call Haybale Heights Campground and Resort today to book one of their modern cabins on East Bay. The cabins are furnished with a full bathroom, kitchen, and all the amenities like high-speed internet, and are clean following CDC guidelines. Staying at Haybale Heights gives you full access to a private boat launch, fish cleaning station, and beach area. Learn more at haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. Plan your trip to legendary Devil's Lake today.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio. Broadcasting from the Tazzin Lake Lodge Studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio.
Welcome back. Our guest is Jason Durham from Go Fish Guide Service in the Park Rapids area, talking about muskie fishing. And Jason, you were saying you do things a little different.
Sometimes they want to do the traditional, you know, giant lures and heavy, heavy equipment. And we don't always do that. So sometimes we'll go out and we'll throw a small spinner, and the lakes in our immediate area, you actually do better using small baits than you do with the traditional musky lures. And so I kind of figured out this bite that was going well using essentially a Lindy Rigger live bait rig with 50 pound fluorocarbon, a single hook, and like a 7 or 8 inch sucker minnow. And we had just been cracking big northerns doing this, but moving slow and just letting the minnow do all the work. I mean, it's walleye fishing for bigger predators.
Sure.
And last week I had a woman in the boat who caught her first muskie ever, which was a 36 inch spot. Beautiful, untouched, had never, you know, been hooked before. It was gorgeous. And then 2 days later, we had quite a surprise where she hooked a northern. She actually didn't realize it immediately. She thought she was stuck on the bottom at first. And then the line started moving out slowly towards deep water. So I knew we were on to, I knew what was going on here. I always have two nets in the boat, a smaller net that would be more for like walleye and smaller pike. But then I've got the big musky net in there too. And so I grabbed the big net. And when I first see this northern pike, I'm confused because it's a two footer. It's 24 inches, but it's sideways in the water. So it just looks so abnormal. And I can only see the head and the tail, and then I see the head of this giant muskie. So the muskie had actually T-boned the northern pike. And this has happened, I don't know how many times in my fishing career, and so many listeners probably have had this happen too, where a big northern or a muskie has grabbed the fish that they've been fighting and initially hooked. Well, just by the grace of the fishing gods and some patience, some good timing, a very skilled angler on the rod, I slipped that net under both fish and we landed 6 feet, 72 inches of fish in one swipe. And I tell you what, in the video of it, and it's been viewed thousands and thousands of times already, but in the video, even one of the clients commented, you took this pause and you waited to give out this rebel yell. And I don't give out that yell very often, but when I do, something special has happened. And I took it, and it was just a split 2 seconds. And the reason was I actually had to take a deep breath and comprehend what we had just done. Because to actually get that muskie and northern in the net just doesn't happen. It's a strike of lightning.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You know, we grew up with a cabin on Bone Lake in northwest Wisconsin, which is a muskie lake over there in northwest Wisconsin. And we fish primarily crappies over there. And I don't know how many times in the spring we'd have a muskie come up and grab one of the crappies that we'd caught. Usually then they let go when you're next to the boat. I think maybe one time one of the guys netted one, was able to put it in the boat, but usually they let it go when you get it to the boat. But that's pretty exciting, on especially on crappie gear, to be able to fight a muskie for a while like that. And I've seen it up in Saskatchewan, up at Tazon up there a couple of years ago. I think one of the guys caught a small northern, and then I think it was like a 46 incher came up and would not let go, and they ended up putting it in the net and landing both fish. So that's an amazing experience. Especially with a client like that, Jason.
Right, exactly. I mean, I was thinking about this. Had I done that personally, by myself, that would have been one thing to go and tell people about it. To have her son jump up in the bow and capture this all on video, that was absolutely unbelievable. And again, you were talking about the warm water and everything. We got such a fast shot of that fish, that specimen, a 48-inch muskie, 24-inch, just over 24-inch pike. I wouldn't let the client hold the fish. A lot of times when we catch muskies, I don't let the client hold the fish. Number one, because you don't want that fish, you know, dropped on the floor, and protection for the fish, but also for protection for the angler. We're talking about not only sun protection, but there's fish protection too. And they are so strong that if you've got a hand under them and they thrash one time, I mean, you can wreck your digits really, really fast. And I've had that happen. Anybody that fishes muskies and big pike, they've had it happen at some point. And it's definitely something you want to avoid.
That's a tough one, you know, and that's an important point to bring up. And up at Tazon, again, up in Saskatchewan, a lot of times that's our policy where we'll hold the fish, or the guides will hold the fish for the clients. And a couple of times the clients are like, hey, man, I want a picture of myself holding that fish. And it's like, this is a 50-pound lake trout, you know, at times, or, you know, upper 40s-inch pike. They don't realize all the time just how hard it is to hold on. Those lake trout are so powerful. I mean, so are obviously big pike and muskie, but those big, chunky, fat, girthy lake trout, you know, just holding one up, the dead weight itself can be difficult. But once they start flexing their muscles a little bit, it's important to know how to hold a fish like that.
Well, you know, the great thing is that, you know, you have all these, especially social media people that are critiquing every photo. Yeah. Oh, you're holding your arms out. You're holding it close to the camera. When you get a big fish like that, you can't. There is no choice to hold it out to the camera because it's just not physically possible.
I've argued with people about that. Oh, you're holding it way up for the camera. I'm like, yeah. It's 50 pounds, man. I'm not strong enough to hold it out that far.
No. Get a 60-inch sturgeon and you're not long-arming it towards the camera, that's for sure.
We've caught some of those big lake trout, and they'll try to regurgitate a fish as you bring them up, and you'll pull, a 20-inch fish out of this thing, and it just ate it, and then it went and hit a 6-inch crankbait, or bigger, or we've got some 15-inch savage baits, or whatever they are that we've used up there. Those fish are so aggressive. Sometimes, I'm setting you up here, Jason. Sometimes I think you could just put a plain hook down on that, down on the bottom of the lake down there.
When I'm demonstrating to the clients how to use a live bait rig, and we're walleye fishing at the time, I drop it down with no bait on the hook. And we're talking about a small, number 4 hook and just an 1/8 ounce weight. I drop it down to demonstrate how to put the line in your finger, how when you get a bite, you let it out. And I lift up my rod, and I've got a fish on. And so I start fighting this thing, and the people go, "Yay, you got one." And I go, "No, this isn't supposed to happen like this." And here I caught a 27-inch northern with no bait, with just a plain hook.
And now, more than you ever wanted to know, brought to you by Prairie Sportsman. Watch episodes on PBS stations in the region.
We've got to do something. Now, you maybe saw it. I recently just put out our last show with Darren Amundson of Fish Donkey. And so I had a trivia contest for him, and we didn't have time to do it with Darren. So you're getting the trivia meant for Darren at Fish Donkey. So this is more than you ever wanted to know, about donkeys, Jason.
I was hoping it wasn't geography or something like that. I'm terrible at that.
Well, during World War I, donkeys were used for A, bomb-sniffing donkeys, B, bomber pilots, seems legit. C, rescue animals that could be eaten if necessary. Or highly trained covert spies. Dun, dun, dun.
Hey.
More than you want. You're saying A?
Yep.
I'm going to give you a hint. It's not A.
Well,
let's
we're definitely not going with B. Then I'm going to go with the one where they could be eaten.
That is correct answer. They were rescue animals that could be eaten if necessary. More than you
ever... Have you eaten donkey before?
I have not, but I'm assuming I've eaten horse because I've had a lot of fast food in my life. So I wouldn't be surprised if I've had something in that family. Have you eaten donkey?
But I tell you what, there's a tortilla chip that they've got at the grocery store here that are called donkey chips that are unbelievable.
Really? Yeah. All right. Well, more than you ever wanted to know about donkeys. There you go, Jason Durham. Hey, where can people find you if they want to jump in a boat with you and have you take them out for crappie fishing or walleyes or something?
Easiest thing, I could give you my phone number, but you're not going to write it down. You're going to forget it anyway. Of course, you can find me online. It's go-fish-guides.com, or you can just Google it, Park Rapids Area Fishing Guides. I'm going to come up. Of course, find me and follow me on social media. There's always something going on. Here's what I don't do on social media, Instagram or Facebook. I don't post anything political. We don't talk about religion. The only thing I'm not going to post what I ate for dinner. How about that? What I am going to put up there is something that's amazing, something that's funny, something that's going to make somebody smile, because, just kindness and a good attitude, a good heart. Everybody should experience that and feel that every day. So you're not going to find a bunch of trivial tripe on there. It's going to be something that's meaningful.
I think it's illegal not to post political stuff on Facebook now, isn't it? That's what it seems like when you scroll through social media. Very good. People need more stuff like that, the good stuff on social media. Thank you for doing that. And Jason Durham, thanks for being on the show today.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Brett. Always a delight.
All right, we got Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods coming up next. We're going to break down using crawler harnesses on 90-degree days in calm water in less than 10 feet of water. How does he do it? We'll find out next. As we all navigate through the tough times of 2020, finding new ways to enjoy summer has become a way of life. If you're searching for the perfect getaway this summer, Look no further than the walleye capital of the world, Lake of the Woods. Fish the Rainy River, Big Traverse Bay, and don't forget, you can still experience the uniqueness of the Northwest Angle. For your best chance to catch big fish, go where the big fish are. Lake of the Woods. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Devil's Lake is legendary, and this summer has been legendary for walleyes. Don't miss out. Call Haybale Heights Campground and Resort today to book one of their modern cabins on East Bay. The cabins are furnished with a full bathroom, kitchen, and all the amenities like high-speed internet, and are clean following CDC guidelines. Staying at Haybale Heights gives you full access to a private boat launch, fish cleaning station, and beach area. Learn more at haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. Plan your trip to legendary Devil's Lake today. If trophy lake trout and monster northern pike are on your list this summer, book a trip to Tazzin Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan.
Everything from numbers to big fish.
See pictures, videos, and more at TazzinLake.com.
This is quite the fishery.
Our five-star chef will feed you well after a day of chasing giants on Tazzin Lake.
Dream come true.
Get rates, dates, and more of what you can expect.
It could be the best fish you've ever had in your life.
At TazzinLake.com. That's TazzinLake.com. Tazzin Lake Lodge is a proud partner of Tourism Saskatchewan.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio. Broadcasting from the Tazzin Lake Lodge studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio.
All right, now we're going to head up to Lake of the Woods, check in with Joe Henry once again from Lake of the Woods Tourism. Joe, you were just up there. It looked like a pretty busy time up at the Big Lake.
Yeah, man, it was a busy time. Had a chance to spend a couple days in the water, so feeling a little bit better about the world, if you know what I mean. I'll tell you, I'm one of those guys, and I'm sure there's a lot of men and women out there who kind of feel the same way about getting outdoors. You know, if I get outdoors, you know, I'm better as a man. I'm better as in my work. I'm better as a husband and a dad. You know, I mean, just it is good for me. I don't know what it is about the universe, Brett, but getting outside is something I really need to do on purpose by design. You know, it makes me better. And I'm sure you're the same way, aren't you?
Absolutely. And I know you know Lake of the Woods pretty well, and you know the tips and tactics and the tricks and the places to go and things like that. But when you can spend some time in a boat with a guy like Steve Pinaz, I bet you can pick up and learn a few things from a guy like that.
Steve Pinaz, you know, Steve Pinaz has a TV show called Lake Commandos. Steve is a Hall of Fame angler, been around the fishing industry. He used to be with North American Fishermen. He used to do Knot Wars, if people remember Knot Wars. And just really a very accomplished man, but also a very nice gentleman. One of those guys that, you know, you'd meet Steve and you never know he was so accomplished. And I sure appreciate that. Good angler. We went out and shot a TV show in Lake of the Woods. And, you know, it's funny. You know, I had a game plan going into it. And we get out to some reefs where I knew there were some big fish hanging out. And we had a chance to get out on Monday afternoon and get things rolling. And, man, you know, we went to these reefs and we're seeing mayflies all over. Those little black flies, those ones that like to bite your ankles, they were all over the place. So we knew that there was a bug hatch going on. And then when we got up to our spot, we looked at the sonar and there was so much. We're in 30 feet of water, for instance. There was so much life 15 feet down. I mean, bait, mayfly larva, walleyes, I mean, tulubies, everything was living there. And I know from experience that those walleyes that are suspended on Lake of the Woods are just hard to catch. I talked to another guide about it, and I told him, man, have you ever been able to catch those suspended walleyes? He goes, I've tried hours and hours and hours, and I think they have one thing in their mind, mayfly larva, because they just wouldn't go. So we went out and kind of learned the hard way that our plan wasn't coming together. So what we decided to do, that was a half a day, and we got a few walleyes, but not enough. So the next morning, we got out early. We got up at 5 and got out there, and we decided to do a milk run. And I had a whole bunch of spots in mind, and we went spot to spot until we connected with fish on the bottom. They were on the bottom of the lake on our sonar, and fish that were willing to eat our spinners and our cranks. We tried two different methods for the show, and we found it once we got to fish, once we found fish that were willing to eat, for whatever reason, there wasn't as much of a mayfly hatch. I think that's probably why. We whacked them. We whacked them good. And then, so we went and got our eaters, Brett. And then we got all the eaters we needed. We could have caught eaters all day long. And then we slid to a couple of big fish spots. Deep mud, they weren't going so good. I slipped to a shallow spot that had fished in some tournaments. And just we're going right by the spot. I said, let's slide in here for 15 minutes. Either they're here or they're not. Well, they were there. So we slid into some shallower water at 7 to 10 foot of water and whacked some nice fish, 24, 25 inches, and made for a good TV show, had a good day of fishing. We caught pike, we caught smallmouth bass, a big jumbo perch, huge. It's Lake of the Woods, man, But I think the point is this, is that when you go on Lake of the Woods, please know that not all the fish are in the same area. If you go to one area and they're not going, don't be afraid to move around. Don't be afraid to watch your electronics and trust your electronics. Do a milk run, and eventually you're going to connect.
I mean, if you would have told me that in the hottest week of the year, around the 4th of July, on Lake of the Woods, that you'd be catching walleyes during the day in 7 to 10 feet of water when it's 80, 90 degrees outside, I would have told you you're crazy, Joe.
How about if I told you that we're catching them when it's 90 degrees, shallow water, no wind?
Oh, yeah. No, that you obviously had those fish tied up to a dock somewhere for the TV show.
You know, I'll tell you what it is. That comes with experience, really. And that's where my tournament angling, just experience in the water, you slide in, you make a 15-minute pull. Either they're there or they're not there. And I'll tell you, when they're in that shallow water, they're there for one reason. And you know what that is? They're eating.
Yeah.
They're eating. And, so we slid in there. In fact, we slid up, and I knew the spot, but we slid up pretty darn shallow, and we found fish shallow, and those fish were aggressive. When you catch those shallow walleyes, Brett, especially when they're larger, they don't fight like a walleye. I mean, I hooked into one, and it ripped rig hard. I mean, hard. And I'm like, it's got to be a pike. And we pulled it up, and it ripped rig hard again. Hard, man. Just flew. And we pulled that fish up, and I saw that white tip. I'm like, grab that net. And it's just kind of a neat situation. But there again, Lake of the Woods is stained water, and those fish are food-related. I think many, many a time, it's like when I go to a lake, and I see all these boats along shore in the middle of summer. I used to think, God, they must be bass anglers. Mm-hmm. Tell you what, as I get to be more mature in my walleye angling, I kind of rethink that and say, well, there's a few bass anglers. There's also a few of them that are probably the best walleye anglers on the lake, and they got something figured out.
So when you fished them in that 7 to 10 feet of water, that shallow part there, were you same kind of thing, pulling cranks or crawler harnesses or spinners?
Nope. Crawler harnesses, yeah. I use a 2-ounce bottom bouncer. And I use a 2-ounce bottom bouncer because I can use that in 5 feet of water. And I can also go pull down a break and use that 2-ounce bouncer as deep as, 30, 32 if I need to. And my key in that bottom bouncer when I pull spinners is using a 45-degree angle. Man, I want to keep that 45-degree angle. And I want to touch the bottom but keep it off the bottom. If I drag those rocks that we were in, if I drag those rocks with that lead, it would get snagged. I promise you it would. So you got to touch it quick and keep it off the bottom. Same thing with the mud, though, where I'm not going to get snagged. I purposely want to be able down there, but I don't want to drag that mud necessarily. Sometimes that'll produce a bite, but more often than not, I'm going to touch that bottom and just keep it a couple of crank or two off the bottom so that spinner's going right above those fish. And tell you what, that's kind of the ticket. But, what I see, Brad, and doing seminars and stuff, so many anglers, when they either drift or troll with a bottom bouncer and a spinner, they use a light bouncer, like a 1-ouncer. I really want to encourage anglers, try that 2-ounce bouncer. It feels heavy at first, but boy, that gives you total control to go up, down, and all around. It's not too heavy. And then what happens is, and that, you're going to feel like there's a little, they'll grab onto it, and it feels like kind of a wet washcloth hanging on there. They don't always hammer it. They don't always tap it. It's like a little bit of extra weight, but there's no weeds in these areas. So you give them 1,001 and sweep that hook set. The other thing I'll tell you is when you're using, for instance, a 2-ounce bottom bouncer and a crawler, when you hook that crawler, that first hook, hook it right in the dark part of that crawler and the tough head. Straighten that crawler out. You don't want it curved. Hook that second hook up. You want it straight. And then you're going to have about that much crawler left. And you don't want to leave that on there because the walleyes will hit it and they'll miss a hook. So what you do is you pinch that crawler off so you have about that much crawler hanging off that back hook. It's plenty. Because when you look at that much crawler, plus your beads, plus your blade, by the time you're looking, you got an offering that long, plenty, plenty big for a walleye. You'll catch everything on it. So what's going to happen is by having that short tail on your back hook, you're gonna hook up most of the time. You're not going to miss those fish. So just little tricks like that. There's times when panfish will nip me off, and I got just a little nub, just a little nub. But that whole offering is still that long. You'd be surprised how many big walleyes they catch with just that much crawler,
So are you trolling or drifting then?
No wind. So we were trolling.
Oh, no wind.
So I had the electric trolling motor down. I had the big motor up in case we got a little too skinny. And you know, I was using that for control with a remote control around my neck, and I was using the remote control. You could use a foot pedal if you had that, you know, or a transom mount, whatever. But the point is, we're going 1.25 miles per hour. That 1.25 miles per hour is kind of the go-to speed. Yep, it can be a little less, it can be a little more, but that's kind of my go-to speed. And that'll get me that 45-degree angle on that bottom bouncer, which is so important. If you start getting way behind the boat, especially in shallow water, you get snagged up. But in, even in deeper water, for some reason, the angle of the dangle makes a difference in how many walleyes you catch. And that 45 degrees is a ticket, I'm telling you.
Well, I'm definitely a little bit more interested in all these since we're going to be heading up there in about 2 weeks to try out all these tactics. So when you pull cranks, what are you, what size and color crankbait are you doing up there?
When we pull the cranks to those fish, I used a three-way rig. So I used a three-way swivel with a dropper line that was about 2 feet and a 3 ounce weight. And then the other part, you know, went to my rod and reel. And then I had about a 6 foot piece of fluorocarbon with a snap on it. And that went to my crankbait. I used a jointed Berkeley flicker shad at about a number 5. It was kind of a fire tiger color because of the stained water in Lake of the Woods. And he went with more of a deep diving crank with no weight on it. He just casted that behind the boat and pulled that in that 13 to 15. And we both caught fish on it. And there again, that's where I say, you know, it's summertime. So that's where you experiment with. When you got somebody else you're fishing with, you experiment with color, shape of the crank, jointed versus non-jointed. You know, the action, the wobble. Do you have a tight action or do you have a real wide action? Your speed of the boat, do you want to go 1.4? Do you want to go 2.2? Let the fish tell you what's going on. But by having two anglers in a boat or more, you really can get dialed in on what the fish want that day.
And now, True False or False, brought to you by Prairie Sportsman. Watch episodes at prairiesportsman.org.
We want to do a True False or False about muskies. Joe, are you ready for True False or False?
I'm a walleye guy, but man, I'm going to take a shot at it.
Muskies or muskellunge? Where does that muskellunge name come from? Does it come from A, the Ojibwe word for ugly pike? Is it B, they have they're multi-lunged, multiple-lunged muskellunge? Or is it C, they're catching them is a sweaty challenge? So it's like a musky lunge, sweaty. Sweaty challenge because they're tough to catch. What's your guess for true, false, or false? One of those is true, Joe.
You make it tough on me, man. I'm going to take a shot and say A.
A, the Ojibwe word for ugly pike. That is correct, Joe. You have gotten it correct. Congratulations, Joe Henry. If people want to plan a trip up to Lake of the Woods, where can they go to get all the info?
You know what? Check out our website. We got everything on there. It's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Sporting Journal Radio is a division of Macaba Media, LLC. Find us online at sportingjournalradio.com to listen to past shows, download the podcast, and more. And search for Sporting Journal Radio on Facebook and Instagram for outdoor videos, tips from the experts, and more. I'm Brett Amundson. Thank you for listening to Sporting Journal Radio. We'll see you next week.